ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam. Today is the 27th of June. Lovely day. The day adds up to 9. It is the month of 6 and you have the year ending with 9. When you are in Prashanti Nilayam, every day seems so divine. We've been continuing this series of contemplating on the beautiful love story that unfolded 50 years ago in Vrindavan that Sai Krishna recreated. It's over 25 episodes of learning with love in Vrindavan, and there is so much more to share. Every student you talk to, even if Bhagwan has stayed just for a month or two during his student days in Vrindavan, he has volumes to share, because that is how power-packed, divinely love-suffused every moment in Vrindavan was and continues to be. If you ever step into the Vrindavan ashram in the Whitefield area of Bengaluru, don't miss to be there for the morning sessions. You have the chance to actually see the residence of Bhagwan during the early morning hours when they do the puja of Traishwara Lingam. So going back in time, we have covered the story of how Bhagwan used to visit Bangalore way back in the 40s, and then we shared with you how Swami used to stay in Nandanavanam, how he acquired or rather accepted the gift of Mohan Palace and christened it Vrindavanam in April 30, 1964, and how the college started in 69, then how the hostel came up in 77, and how the whole saga of Bhagwan turning everyone who stepped in with his green raw hat heart into gold, into his bangaru. We share with you stories from the 70s through the 80s, how the Trai Vrindavan came into being, and then about the unforgettable Trai sessions. Today we continue from there, and by Bhagwan's grace, we have a member of Team Radio Sai, Brother Sai Prakash, to share about how it was to be in Vrindavan in the 90s. And before we go on to sharing the sweet memories of being with Bhagwan in Trai, if you have been watching the uploads of Radio Sai, if you are tuned to what we have been doing and following our posts on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook, then you will be someone who has asked the question, what is Radio Sai next? What are all these promos about this new venture from Radio Sai? Someone asked me, brother, what is this Radio Sai next for young adults? So what role has young adults got to play in Radio Sai next? Is it for all? Is it only for young adults? So how is it different? What is it going to have? What is it going to be? Is it going to be videos? Is it going to be drama? Is it going to be a play? Is it going to be cartoons? So many questions. And today we have Brother Sai Prakash, who has been working on this idea for so many months. In fact, he was blessed by Bhagwan to be in the Discovery office, the Discovery Channel office, for 6 months. He got trained there, and with all those inputs that he has gathered and all the beautiful lessons that Swami has taught him, he's someone who has had the chance to study in Bhagwan's institution right from his KG, as Swami says, right from his grade one. So entire education he has had at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and all that is finding fruition as he works for Radio Sai, and now comes a new venture. Radio Sai next. So brother Sai Prakash, so happy to have you for Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. So tell us all about what is Outside, Inside and Deep Inside of Radio Sai next.
Thank you, Brother Vishu. I am very happy to be here and offer myself at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet. This is a great opportunity to discuss and, you know, brainstorm about this whole effort called Radio Sai Next. The thing is, Radio Sai Next, in the first look is for the next generation. Yes. So what is it that we want to present to the next generation, which is new in the sense? So after a lot of thought and looking at the youth who come to Prashanthi Nilayam, looking at the children of devotees, grandchildren of devotees who have sort of quote-unquote lost touch with the Sai movement. And there are so many, I mean billions of people around the globe who are not aware of Swami. So when you look at social media today, when you look at some of the ways in which the message is being put across, what happens is people are searching for solutions based on themes and based on issues that they have in their daily life. So if we are able to present this message in such a context, present it in such a way that they feel it relevant to their problems of today, then automatically more people will come. So two words which one of our teammates was pointed out stuck in my mind. One is reverence and relevance. So what happens is, in my way of thinking, When Swami was physically present here, the moment you saw him, you fell in love, and yes, it was reverence at first sight. Yes. Love at first sight and reverence at first sight. But so what happened for us is, whatever Swami spoke, whatever he said and whatever he did, we understood that there was a meaning to it. We understood that there was a purpose to it. And we believed in everything that he said, and we still believe because we love him. But if you look at the generation today, they are not having that opportunity of connecting with the physical form, because there is no way they can see the physical form. Of course, Swami has left behind a lot of videos, thousands and thousands of hours of videos, which no other avatar has done. But even then, the Kali Yuga is so full of distraction and so it almost feels like you have to go through the path of distraction to reach out and stabilize. So, you know, social media is full of distraction. Every second you're looking at something new. Every second you're looking at something different. And so the idea is, can we present Swami's message in such a way that people feel its relevance, understand its relevance to their problems? And what happens is, there is, whether we believe it or not, or whether we accept it or not, a quote-unquote social identity that youngsters have. That is, in the sense, people judge them by what are the posts they are sharing.
Yes.
What are the kind of posts they are sharing? So
it is not important where I should go for my vacation. What is important is where to go so that the pictures are appropriate for my Facebook profile. Instagram page.
Yeah, it's
vacations are decided basically on what is the social media message that I'm going to project.
You know, actually, it's very interesting because I was seeing one series on Netflix, mm-hmm, which is very, very deep and very profound. And the series name is, of course, Black Mirror. Mm-hmm. And Black Mirror is something which plays on this technology, which plays on technology. And it's for one episode which I saw, which was very beautiful, is they try to create situation in which technology solves your problem. Okay, so for example, a young couple, they just married and very happy and very loving and very, very close to each other. And the husband just drives out for some work and he meets with an accident and dies. So obviously the wife is so heartbroken and she does not know what to do in her life. She's left all alone and she's completely lost at the verge of, going mad. And at that time, there's a suggestion that comes that if you want, you can recreate your husband. Okay.
Technologically.
So she said, wow, is that possible? And they said, but there's a limitation. Now, the husband that you're going to create is going to be made from all the posts that he has made on social media. See, because we talk a lot about ourselves on social media.
Yes.
And so obviously she didn't realize the consequences. And she thought, obviously, that's a great opportunity, and her husband actually came back. But his memory and his reactions to life is based completely on what he believed and he posted on social media.
Yes.
Because all the content is taken from his public postings in social media. And that is fed into him. Now, initially it starts off very well and she's very happy, but slowly she realizes that is a very shallow part of yourself. So social media, everybody is smiling, everybody is grinning, but does it show the loneliness that's there inside? Does it show the pain?
45% of people in the US above the age of 45 are lonely.
Right. Yeah, so what happens is you want a sort of acceptance from society when you post something in social media, and everybody is always smiling and you always think everybody else is having the best of times. They're having the best.
I wish if only everybody's life was as rosy and honky-dory as the social media post show.
No, that's exactly what they tried to bring out in this episode. So what happens is he comes back to life, her husband comes back to life with memory limited to what was posted in social media. And she starts seeing that when she tells him, like, for example, no, I don't want to speak to you. He'll say, okay, and he'll go off. And she'll say, no, you're supposed to ask me, please, I want to speak to you. But that was not posted in social media. And so, but he's very quick at learning because he's a computer.
Yes,
he's machine learning. So the moment she tells him once, immediately he understands that this is how he has to respond. So, but whatever it is, there's a gap.
So much.
And so this series was very interesting in the sense that it brought out that technology doesn't give you all solutions.
Yes.
But at the same time, that is the tool we have today.
Yes.
And like somebody was earlier telling, in the different yugas, you have different danavas. You have rakshasas of different technology, in a sense, is one.
I mean, it can trick you, as Bhagwan used to say.
Yeah, I remember in one of the sessions in an interview, Swami was like, all the elders were there and I was part of that, and Swami is asking, what is technology? And everybody knew Swami is going to give an answer, so they didn't. And I was like a fool, and I said, Swami, you say that technology is technology. And Swami said, you are telling me what I am only saying. Swami said, yes, that is true, but there is another meaning to technology. And he said, what humans are supposed to do, if machines start doing, that is technology.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, wow.
That what humans are supposed to do, if machines start doing, that is technology. And as we all know, it has both positive and negative effects.
Take knowledge, right? That is another spin that Swami gave you about technology.
Take knowledge. So, Radio Sai next, because this is a language. If you look at it as a separate language, as a separate approach to life, social media has become so popular and so necessary in today's life, and people define their identities based on social media. So what the whole effort is, can we present the message in a contemporary style? Because what happens is, now there are billions of people who have not seen Swami physically. And if you are able to present the message in a relevant manner, in a contemporary style, without giving a half an hour talk, I mean, how many people today have the time to listen to half an hour talks or even 1 hour talks? So can we make it small and can we make it interesting and relevant? At the same time, it does not mean that it's a substitute for the original. This is just an introduction. So what happens is anybody who's looking for answers, hopefully these small videos, these small clips that we are making will give them some glimpse, give them some idea of what are the possible answers. Now, once they get that introduction, then it's left to them.
Yes.
If they want to know more about Swami, if they want to read more about Swami, we have tons of material on Radio Sai already.
Yes.
And there is no substitute to reading his own words, his own writing. See, what happens is a lot of thought has gone into Radio Sai Next, because what will we do? What can we say? Swami has said everything. Swami has done everything. So there is nothing more to say than what Swami has already said. But we can take that, those words, and present them in a contemporary style. You can take those words and put it into a situation in daily life. You can put it in a form of a music video. You can put one or two thoughts in the form of a music video. You can put it in the form of an animation. You can put it in the form of a photo story. There are different formats we are exploring. So when we were thinking whether it is right to do it in this way, or whether it is not appropriate, whether we should do it or not, one of the Sai inspires which came, which really, you know, that day I was in tears, because I was looking for validation and I was praying to Swami, Swami, is this needed? Is this what you would want us to do? Is this going along the lines that you would want us to work on? And that time, one of the days when Sai inspires came, and in that Swami says, the words are so powerful. He says, God is neither ancient nor modern.
Wow.
He says, God is neither ancient nor modern. So he's both and neither.
Yes.
So he says, his glory never changes.
Hmm.
But present him, if you must, in a modern manner, in a modern style, so that he might be understood today.
Correct.
This is the, you know, science part. And then he says, if a child is reluctant to swallow a pill, insert the pill in a plantain and offer the child both the plantain and the pill, so that the child may swallow the plantain and the pill. But do not change the nature of the pill to suit the whims and fancies of the child, because then the illness cannot be cured.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, in this one quote,
yes,
and you will not believe it, this is a quote that Swami gave in 1961.
Wow.
1961, Swami is talking about modern manner, modern style. He's talking about God is neither ancient nor modern. Don't think that, you know, you have to go to some ancient this thing. He is ever modern, ever new.
Yes.
Nitya Nutanam, he is the latest. He's there on every second, he's there.
Yes.
He is what is most relevant for today. So he says, present him if you must, in a modern manner, in a modern style. So that is, in a way, that is the hint that we have taken. We are trying our best. Obviously, we need a lot of professional support. We need to take the presentations to a level where youth and devotees feel confident of sharing this material with their colleagues who are new to Swami. You know, sharing it with their extended family, sharing it with the children, sharing it with their teachers, with their friends, who have no idea of who Satya Sai Baba is. So when this video reaches them, they will at least get an introduction of what Swami's message is all about. So that is the whole purpose of Radio Sai Next. And that's what we are trying
now. You know, when I was thinking about NEXT, what occurred to me is first new. And Swami says, give it in a new format.
Right.
And what is it that you have to give in a new format? It is the same noble message.
Right.
It is the same noble message. The most important value of empathy.
Right.
I think that is what is the core of love all, serve all, help ever, hurt
absolutely,
never.
Absolutely.
Empathy. And X, to me, it seems like everybody is going to have an X factor to it. Because there is going to be something which will make you think. You know, there is an X factor. As you say, you know, World Cup is going on. And you say, okay, what is the X factor in this match? Okay, in this match, X factor is this player. Because if this player wants, he can turn the game. Because he is the all-rounder.
Exactly.
So there is an X factor to every video. And you have T. T is, we are using technology. Yes, we are using technology. You are taking the knowledge. that, as Bhagavan says, use the knowledge to skill, not kill. So, to my mind, I mean, that
very good acronym. Yeah.
To interpreting it. Well, but then, as you said, you know, we do our best and leave it to him to decide how he wants to take it forward. So, brother, so let's step back.
Go back in time.
And go back to those days when Swami really gave us these moments that today we are trying to present to the world in a new format.
No, absolutely. See, one of the main things which we are trying is taking the message and presenting it in a way which is very relevant to us. So, what happens is that in a snapshot, if you look at it, that is exactly what Swami did in Thrai sessions.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
See, in Thrai sessions in Vrindavan, he was not the formal self. He was right. Not Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, the avatar of the age. He would say, hey, Bhag Kuchora. And he would say, hey, what this fellow is talking. He would come down to our level.
Yes.
He would, it's all students there, and then Swami would...
And that is how, you know, every person felt that connect.
Right.
That's what we are trying to do. We want to connect to the young adults.
Yes.
We want to connect to the youth. And that's what, I mean, if you see physically, Swami was in his 70s.
Yeah.
But, you know, we connected with him so well.
He came to our level. And, you know, we were in our teens at that time.
Yes.
When you complete your 12th standard and you go there.
Yeah.
So you're 17, 18 years old. And that's like the peak of your...
And you feel Swami is my best friend.
Yeah, adolescence. And for some time, you know, you're asking so many questions, because if you look at the media today, if you look at productions, everything is based on adolescence, because that is an area, that's an age group when, you know, everybody's confused.
Yes.
You're very confused about so many things in life, purpose of life, what you have to do, where, what is your vision, where you want to go, and what are my weaknesses, what are my strengths. And facing yourself. So many things happen at that age. And we were so fortunate that, you know, Swami put us in the safest of places in the world. But at the same time, what he did was, he did give us glimpses of what life is about in the Thrai sessions. And the tone with which he spoke, the nature of the topics, the themes that he touched upon, the way he explained with stories, with analogies, with, you know, so these are the things we are trying to do in Radio Sai Next. You know, can we take them and make them very, very real?
Yes.
I won't say casual. I would say more real, because life is as it is. No, you cannot put on a cap and you cannot put on a mask and say, oh, this is how life is. No, life is as it is. You are there in the world. You have peer pressure. I mean, you don't want to smoke. You don't want to drink. You don't want to have any kind of habits that are not good for you. But there is peer pressure. And you want to stand tall. You want to prove that, you know, I am also cool.
Yes.
No, exactly. These are the problems that youth face. Yes. And based on the survey that we had done, more than, I think, 70% of the problems are based on relationships.
Yes.
So at this age, you're trying to figure out what is love, what is friendship, what is goodness, what is bad, what is good. So there's so many questions. So Swami has always spoken about the power of youth. You know, in Kodai, once when we were there in our batch, Swami was saying, youth is like a panchabaksha parmanam. So he would say that it is like a green leaf, tender plantain leaf on which all the food dishes are served. Fresh dishes are served. And he said, it looks so beautiful. It's fresh. It looks so tasty. And it is so tasty. Everything is so beautifully cooked. But if you go and offer it to the devil, then the leaf is torn off. The food is just scattered. And certain things are here, there. And he says, that plate of food, which is so fresh, which is so beautiful, that should be offered to God. So he says, youth is like that, like a fresh plantain leaf with all the food items, all the dishes beautifully cooked and laid out, that you should offer to God. And when you offer that to God, then he will make sure that your life is sanctified.
I mean, that's what happens in the time of the youth. You get carried away and all your senses are driven to things wherein the devil is actually
That's the idea. I mean, it's very difficult to say what is the devil and what is God. And I mean, absolute terms are very difficult, and sometimes people think that they are impractical. Like, there is no, like, what is absolute good and what is absolute bad?
Yes.
So, but when you look at the same concept of what is good and bad, and if you present it in terms of what is short term versus long term.
Yes.
So, you know, somebody may think that instant, we want everything instant today. Mm. So, I want instant gyan if I press, if I look at social media for 1 hour and then, okay, at least half moksha I have got. I can come back tomorrow and browse the second half and then complete that portion of moksha so that I get a complete moksha package. Mm. So, it's, life is not like that.
Yes.
And so what happens is everything is instant. So, people think that what is instant is real.
Hmm.
Sometimes what is instant may be fantastic. It might be an outpouring of inspiration. It might see because like for example, scientists, artists, you're sitting, you're contemplating, staring at that blank canvas, but then you know a gush of inspiration comes. Something comes from the source. You know, it just flows out, and then you start painting.
Yes.
Or you're waiting for that moment as a musician. You're just waiting. There is the tanpura going on in the background. But for the first note that a musician sings in a concert, he or she, they're waiting for that inspiration. It has to come from within. And the moment that inspiration comes, then they start. So there are certain things which are instant, but that instant is based on a lot of background.
Yes.
It is based on years of practice. It's based on years of experience. It's based on hours and hours of hard work. And then when in that moment, when you forget yourself, then the inspiration comes.
Yes.
So,
in fact, if the rock broke at the 108th stroke.
Right.
We saw only that 108th stroke. We have not seen the 107 attempts that were made. But I think, as you are saying, you know, one has to become one with that whole idea. And it should possess you like it is your very breath. In fact, I remember in one of the Trai sessions, Swami was talking about his visit to Hubli.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami said that at that point in time, there were a lot of Mathadipatis who had come, and probably you'll remember the story where these Mathadipatis were all Shiva Bhaktas.
Okay.
And they didn't want to hear any other name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
No Krishna, no Rama. They will almost tell Shiva 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 put mm-hmm. in, you know, they cannot bear to hear any other name of the Lord. And Swami goes there, Swami gives a talk there, and then at the end of the discourse, Swami starts singing Govinda Krishna Jai, Gopala Krishna Jai, and all these people, they don't even realize that they are following Swami, and they have actually uttered the word Govinda and Krishna. And then actually I remember Swami gave this example to say that, you know, this is how you should become one. Swami was actually speaking to the music boys, and Swami was saying, see, you should become one. So people also forget the milieu, forget where they are. I mean, that is how involved one should be. I think, you know, you'll remember many such three sessions.
No, absolutely. See, that's why when you're in your teens and you start attending three sessions, they make a very, very deep impact in you. And see, you feel that, first thing, you, as a teenager, you feel, man, spirituality is not boring.
Yeah.
Spirituality is fun.
Fun, yes.
It is fun, and it is a way in which you can have the maximum fun.
Fun, yes.
Imagine if nothing affects you.
Yeah.
See, not in a bad way. But when you understand the impermanence of things,
yes,
and when you are, start seeing that everything is a reflection of yourself.
Yes.
How the world responds to you is... See, that is the highest level of philosophy. That's the highest level of...
Why is it that, you know, people are thinking, I have achieved so much, but that monk fellow, he has done nothing actually.
And he's
he's so blissful.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, the beauty with Vrindavan, which I was mentioning even the other day when Karuna Munshi's sister interviewed me in that Morning Glory section. See, the thing is... the discipline that is needed at that age, is very, very strict in discipline in Vrindavan. And the Vrindavan hostel and the college, they follow the rules very, very strictly.
To the T,
actually. So, but that is what is needed at that age group.
Correct.
When you are in that age, your mind can easily waver from here to there and it can just waste away the time. And I'm sure in your series of conversations, you would have heard many students say that Vrindavan is the time when your talents actually blossom.
Yes.
Because you're given the time, you're given the opportunity, you're given the encouragement.
Yes.
You're given that, you know, the teachers are so enthusiastic. They come and tell you, yes, you're good, you can do it. Yes. You know, further go ahead with your work. So that kind of encouragement which we got in our youth days, so that stays with you throughout your life.
Absolutely.
That stays with you. So Vrindavan was like that beautiful, place where Swami molded the youngsters. And historically, all the summer courses were held in Vrindavan.
Oh, yes.
And, so that... I think it's that atmosphere, it's that environs where, you know, you define or redefine spirituality as something very, very approachable.
Yes.
As the best bet in life.
Yes.
I mean, it's always a choice between what's easy and what's right.
Mm.
And so at every point in time, if you just start looking at what is right, then I think over months and years.
The most beautiful thing was Swami conveyed all these lessons, but he did it in a manner.
Right.
Which was so sweet, so subtle, and so smooth that you didn't even realize that these things are actually being drilled into you.
Absolutely. See, I mean, I remember a very, very beautiful episode which happened after we were together in the Kodai trip.
Yes.
In the year 99. So that was when I completed my undergraduate, 99. So we went to the Kodai trip and we came back. And Swami gave 2-3 big apples to Brother Sudhindran. Mm. And Swami said, now you go and call these particular boys. And because it was still vacation time, he said, go to one room, close all the windows, close all the doors, cut this apple and have it. So these boys, and Swami had mentioned certain names. So you were there in that, I was there in that. And I remember we went to that sea floor, one of those rooms, and we closed all the doors and windows. And then we said, wow, what a way to eat an apple. So it was a huge apple and such a juicy apple. But then there was also a message. And Swami told him to convey that he wants to meet all of us the next day in Thrai. And Brother Sudhindran very sweetly gave the apple and he said, see, Swami is going to go to Mr. Balram sir's house for lunch. And Swami has told that you all will come with us, with him. And so Swami has told that you all should be present in Thrai the next day at this point in time. So we all were obviously very happy and we ate the apple and all that. And next day promptly we were standing in the near the gate and you had those small arches where people would sit when he would call for an interview. And we were standing there and Swami came and he said, oh, why have you all come? why did you all come? And then he said, come. So we all went inside and Swami was sitting on the jhula. And I will never forget this because it has so many deep lessons.
Mm.
And we all were sitting there. Swami says, tell me, why have you all come? Why have you all come? And then many of us were silent. And I don't know who, but one of us told Swami, you have called us. Swami said, is it? I have called. For what I have called? And then he said, Swami, you are going to take us for lunch to Balram sir's house.
What is to say?
And Swami looked at this Sudhindran and Swami said, no, Chappava.
Did you tell?
And then he was like, Swami said, see, too much talk.
Oh, God.
Too much talk. You should have just told them that Swami is calling you. That's all.
Be ready.
That's all is needed. Why you have to tell all this? Then Swami made beautiful drama that followed. And Swami said, now see what you have done. So he was like wondering what he has done. Swami said, it has all become lies. It has all become lies. And Swami looked at Mr. Balram, who was sitting there in that, in little behind all of us, in that outer circular room. And Swami said, Balram, Polo, tell these boys. And he said, Devare, relatives, Tumba, something he was telling. And Swami said, see, now because of all that, it's all cancelled. And you have told them that you're going to Balram's house. It's all become lies now. Why you should speak? Too much talk, bad voice, too much talk. And then we were wondering, oh my God, what happened? We got those juicy apples. Those apples were sweet. But then we knew that this is sweeter because that is his concern. So he was saying, see, too much talk. Then he asked, so what, whom all did you go and tell? Then he said, Swami, nobody. You went to the hostel, you took the mic and announced, made an announcement in the hostel. He said, no, Swami, I didn't. Then Swami said, anta mi friends kanta poi cheppava? You went and told all your friends? He said, no, Swami, I didn't. Oh, that means you have friends. Oh, that means you have friends. He was like, he didn't know. And Swami said, Sira, this is what is called cross-questioning. In the court, lawyers, this is what they do. They will cross-question. So you should be careful about what you say. And he was smiling. And then he said, see, cross-questioning. So you have friends. No, Swami, you are my only friend. See, the beauty is when you believe it. See, initially we are taught things. In primary school, you are saying, where do you come from? Swami, I come from you.
Yes.
Then who is your best friend? Swami, you are my best friend. See, these were things, these were thoughts and ideas which were put into us. Yes. But it is left to us to believe in them. And when we believe in them, they sprout.
Yes.
And when they sprout, they become natural to us. But till the time they become natural to us, yes, it is something we just put on. And it, so Swami said, oh, so you have friends. How many friends? He said, no, Swami, you are my only friend. So Swami said, see, this is cross-questioning. Mm. And I said, too much talk is not needed. Now, because of all this, see, unnecessarily so many things can go wrong. Okay, now cars are waiting outside. All of you get up and go inside. We will go to Balram's house. Mm. So this drama was so sweet.
Absolutely.
And, I'm sure many such...
I remember regarding this episode, Swami, after we returned from Kodaikanal, he one day called and said that I'm going to watch every boy now.
Right.
And whoever continues to be a good boy, whoever passes my test of goodness, I will take that boy to Kodaikanal. And I remember during those days, you know, we know that, yeah, Swami is there with us, Swami is constantly there, but I remember during those days, I was be so careful. Every thought that entered in my mind, I have constantly that, it was so predominant in my mind that Swami is watching. And,
right,
you know, whenever Swami is, he decides to take,
we and, should be ready.
Yeah, and pick, I should be among them, you know. Mm. It's like that, oh, when the saints go marching in, how I long to be in that number, you know.
Mm.
How terrible the feeling will be that, you know, I miss being part of that group. So that whole, I remember that was one phase when you constantly are thinking every thought, every gesture, with whom I'm talking, what I'm eating, what is it that I'm thinking, even when I'm reading something.
Correct.
That was so predominant. And of course, when Swami took you, you felt so happy.
Yes.
But I think that was one moment when, you know, Swami is making you, giving you that experience of living with Swami, actually.
Correct. So that's what, see, these lessons that Swami taught us, it is up to us how much we believe in them, because nothing has changed. If you look at it that way,
yes,
nothing has changed. Swami is always present. Swami is always there. And in fact, maybe there are a million other ways in which Swami will reach out to you today.
Yes.
That those days, we were limiting him to the physical form.
Yes.
We were expecting the response from the physical. In fact, that is another very important aspect of Vrindavan. Because, you know, having studied here for 12 years and seeing Swami every day here, the moment I was taken to Vrindavan, it came like a shock. In the first few months, I couldn't adjust there.
Oh,
I really couldn't adjust, because I felt so cut off from Swami.
Because you're not seeing every day.
Swami. Yeah, we're not seeing him every day.
Swami so, so only when he comes there.
Yeah, you are kind of forced to internalize him.
Mm.
You're kind of, now suddenly you're thrown into a place. And I said, is this even a part of Swami's institution? That is how I felt in the
beginning. Every day you're not having darshan.
You're not having darshan. What is this place? Is it like a punishment initially? See, initially you're totally thrown off. Mm. And then when you start thinking, why Swami is doing this? Has he stopped loving me? He's just told you, now you go over.
You're like banished.
You're banished to Vrindavan. But then you start realizing that, no, that is not what Swami wants. He wants you to think, he wants you to believe that he is with you.
Hmm.
And, you know, in every small aspect of life in Vrindavan, you start connecting it with Swami and you start, like you said, always constantly you are,
In fact, because of this distance, you actually think about him more, you pine for him more, you want to create more opportunities, you are honing your talents more, because now every opportunity has become so precious. You might get one chance to go to Puttaparthi for a few days for Guru Purnima. You want to make best of
it. No, that's the fact. In fact, you're constantly thinking on, what can I do for Swami? What can I do to get close to him?
Yes.
I always associate Vrindavan with that pining for the Lord.
Yes.
It's always, at least in my experience, of course, I'm sure the earlier batches, it was more of a fulfillment because Swami spent more time in Vrindavan.
Yes.
Of course, when he comes there, it is fulfillment. It is beyond anything else.
Mm.
But that pining is so sweet.
Mm.
And, you know, you're constantly thinking of him. You're constantly thinking, okay, just before I go to the afternoon session in the college, maybe I can just go quickly and just have one round in Thrayi and then go.
Mm.
After lunch, we could walk into Thrayi, the lawns anytime. And we had those deer and we had those, you know, that cage there and all those animals. You could just go and sit there and watch them and then, you know, talk to them and talk to Swami there and then go to the college. So in the evening times we would have study circles there in the lawns, Thrayi lawns, which were, you know, so beautiful. And there was a completely different atmosphere there where, you know, constantly you're pining for the Lord.
In fact, it reminds me of the Vrindavan of the Dwapara Yuga, where Krishna in the initial years gave so much of himself that, you know, every sand particle, every tree, every branch, every twig was so suffused with his love that people, when they looked at anything, they only pined for him more because they're missing him more, because this is how beautiful it used to be when Krishna was there.
Right.
So, you know, and that is how, you know, today Radha has become synonymous with love and purity.
Mm.
I think there are very few discourses where Swami is talking about love and Swami didn't mention Radha or Swami didn't mention Gopikas. But I think it is that fulfillment of that purity and the pining that Vrindavan stands for of those times. And so beautifully, when Swami christened it as Vrindavan, that is what you saw playing out in Bhagwan's life as now he came as Sai Krishna.
Yeah, the Thrayi sessions were something which was like, there are no words to describe them. Swami comes to your level and makes jokes and he, you know, speaks to all of us and, you know, we are able to immediately associate, and then he brings in an elder to speak and then he gives a talk and he puts everything in perspective. So, I remember Professor Venkatraman telling that Mr. Narasimhan, there was this Sanatan Sarathi editor Narasimhan. He was an elderly gentleman and he was a journalist and he came here and he was an editor for Sanatan Sarathi. And one of those days, Swami told him, Narasimhan, come on, speak to my boys. So he got up. He's an elderly man, you know, sitting on the floor. It was difficult. So, you know, the jhula in Thrayi.
Yes.
So there are these four pillars on the four sides. So he was taking support of that pillar and speaking.
Mm.
And he was speaking. Suddenly Swami looked at him and smiled. And Swami said, "Em Narasimha, paatha nyapakam uchinda." Means you have remembered the past and you are touching the pillar. Because he is Narasimha who has came out from the pillar. So I said, why are you touching the pillar and leaning the pillar? So, you know, these kind of things were so, you know, Swami would just make so many such
light-hearted. I mean, you can't even imagine, actually, for devotees to imagine that Swami would be just joking like this.
Yeah, because then, you know, then he would bring in certain messages.
Yes.
Then he would bring in the I mentioned this even in the other day, but it is so loving. So, you know, when my birthday was there in, I think in the year 99, if I'm not mistaken. So I made a card for Swami and I said, Swami, I want to play sitar for you on my birthday.
Oh, wow.
So Swami said, oh, for your birthday, you want to play? Then I thought, okay, Swami is not going to give permission. But Swami sent word through the warden, tell that primary school boys, tell them to come first. Mm-hmm. So, thrice session, I took my sitar and went. And it was just a prayer that, Swami, I want to offer something to you on my birthday. So I had actually sat and practiced. Mm-hmm. I had practiced some few songs. And so I had made a card. And Swami said, "Ha, okay, call them." So then I was playing sitar and then Swami is playing talam.
Wow.
On the Thrai Jula, Swami is sitting. And then I had to, after one song, I had to change to the other song. And in sitar, you have to change the fret.
Mm.
You have to move the fret. And from the Jula, Swami is telling, see, it is not straight. Make it straight. See, it should be straight. It should be proper. So, you know, every minute detail, Swami is. And then after that, of course, Swami told our singers to sing. And it was a beautiful music session.
Mm.
So, you know, there was nothing planned. There was no structure to a thrai session. At times, Swami would just come and sit and keep talking informally. And they would just, and Swami said, okay, come on, it's time, let's go.
Yes.
Or sometimes there would be a discourse. Sometimes
for 2 hours.
Yeah, it would just be on some topic or anything. So we had a beautiful music session that evening.
Mm.
So like that, you know, when you think Swami just gave himself.
I mean, what are you? You're just a budding musician, just learning to play a few songs.
Not even a budding musician, just some enthusiast, I would say.
But then you can actually sit in front of the Lord and play, and he'll play talam.
And in fact, see, the beauty is the purity of intention.
Yes.
That you have. When I was in Vrindavan, there used to be this room called Hanuman Chalsa room.
Mm.
in the ground floor, in the basement.
Yes.
So there was a small room where every day Hanuman Chalsa would be done in the evenings. So that was called Hanuman Chalsa room. So what I would do is, early morning, I suddenly had this strong urge that I should practice sitar every morning.
Wow.
And so I would get up at 3 and I would go and practice in the Hanuman Chalsa room. And whatever I knew, I mean, I was just practicing Sarigama, Padanisa, Sanidhanjan. Because I was playing harmonium, I would just practice bhajans as well. And I remember very vividly one of my friends who came and said, "What, man? You are practicing as if you are going to play sitar in mandir every day of your life." He said that.
Wow.
He said, you're practicing as if your Swami is going to give you a chance and every day you're going to play sitar. I said, see, I don't know whether that will happen or not. But I don't know. I feel I should be ready. I should practice.
Mm.
But you won't believe it actually happened.
Actually happened, yes.
It actually happened. Yes. And he came to Parthi and Swami suddenly told, you know, so for nearly 2 months, every day I was praying sitar.
Yes,
every day
bhajans.
Before bhajans for 15
yes.
minutes, and then after that it became alternate days.
Yes.
For nearly 1.5 years, 2 years, it's unbelievable.
Okay.
I mean, I had no knowledge of what sitar was. I had no knowledge of what it is. Just interest and just the pining that, yes, Swami, I want to do something
that
for you.
Pining in Vrindavan that I want to do something for Swami.
Exactly.
I want to,
yeah,
do something so that I can get a taste of his love.
Yeah.
Wow. Fantastic. In fact, I remember one incident during one of the mid-semester examinations in Vrindavan. The warden suddenly came up with this idea. He was thinking how to raise the grades of the students. So he said that whoever are among the top 5 in mid-semester, they will be given the chance to sit in front,
mm-hmm,
for thrais.
Mm-hmm.
Because generally when you go inside thrai sessions, you have lots, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it all depends on, it will fall on your lap, the chance to actually, because that is the most coveted position. You can actually have Bhagwan's feet on your lap. I mean, that
right,
is how precious that chance is.
Mm.
And I remember, so I said, okay, this is one way. I mean, probably I can do it, you know, because my other second language was Hindi, so Hindi is not a very scoring subject. So But I worked very hard that mid-semester and I came in the top 5.
Okay.
And then I was part of that. For one day you get the chance to sit in the front. So that day no lot. So royally you can go and sit in the front. And so I went and sat in the front and Swami came. The registration started and I'm thinking, Swami, I've got this chance. You know, two months of hard work.
Do something, Swami.
Do something. 2 months of hard work, you know. I've got this chance. You should speak to me today. Please, you should speak to me. One line, something you should tell, you know. I'll remember. So, but the whole celebration started and I'm sitting there and, you know, I thought Swami will speak. Swami is actually speaking to so many boys that day. You know, and as it happens, you know, he will speak everyone around you and not you, and that is how it will make you feel even more miserable. And I like, and you cannot miss me. And in fact, I used to feel like even if you look at my face, you'll know that there is so much of pining actually. But you know, nothing was affecting him. And it so it is going on, and it is almost like 1 hour over, and session is almost coming to an end actually, and it is all. I thought, gone here, one chance, so much of effort, and Swami didn't want to talk to me also, and Swami was just about to get up, and then suddenly Swami looked at Warden and said, ah, this boy, this boy, his brother is there, Puttaparthi, Puttaparthi.
Yeah.
Then Warden took over, yes, Swami, his brother is there, Puttaparthi, this, that, I know, very good work, all that,
yeah, it's
just to let me know that, Yes, I know, I'm hearing, don't. but I love it because, I love this experience because that pining, you know, 1.5 months of pining to get that chance to sit and then again pining to, for that one word. But, you know, it means so much. You know that he's listening. See, when he's sitting, when you're sitting just few centimeters away and he's pretending that he's not listening to you, so it's the same. You might be sitting thousands of miles away and you might think that he's not listening to you, but he is listening to you.
He is listening. In fact, one maybe time is running out, but one beautiful experience which I had was in the year 99 when Swami selected us for the drama, convocation drama. It was me and my brother were selected as Nakula and Sahadeva and the Pancha Pandavas.
Yes.
So there were two other brothers who were Yudhishthira and Arjuna and Bhima was there and we both were Nakula Sahadeva. And we were just handed over our dialogues. So we were actually in white and white and we were having papers where, you know, Yudhishthira, he will say this, Bhima will say this, then Arjuna will say this, Nakula will say, and Krishna will say this. So that's how it was written. And we were told, go through this and Swami may call any time. And Swami was in Vrindavan at that time. Swami may call, so, and you may have to, you know, tell your dialogues in front of Swami. You can hold your papers, but you try to avoid it. Instantly Swami called. Where are the Pandavas? Call them.
Typical of Swami.
call the Pandavas. Swami, we have just got our... we have just got the dialogues, the sheet. Chappandi. So we were literally standing in front of Swami. Swami was sitting on the jhula. Five of us and six of us were standing, including Krishna. And five of us were standing there. And we were just looking at our papers and reading our dialogues. That's all it was. Now, in that, there was a scene. There was a scene in which Krishna was supposed to go for that messenger of peace.
Yes.
So he was going to go for that messenger of peace. And so he is telling the Pandavas that I want to go. I'm going to go there and I'm going to try bringing peace. And let me do that and come back. So at that time, you know, everybody is like, first of all, totally surprised with the suggestion that why should Krishna take the risk of going alone to the Kauravas? They can do anything to him. And at that point, Swami, you know, Nakula is supposed to have, actually it is Sahadeva, but Swami said Nakula will has to do it. So my brother had to actually go and plead Krishna, and he had to tell him, Krishna, please, more than anything else in the world, your safety is what matters the most to us. And we were just standing and we were reading the dialogues, but at that moment my brother, what he did was he just knelt down and he looked at Krishna, the boy who was acting as Krishna, and he said, Krishna, don't leave us and don't go. And at that point Swami suddenly choked.
Oh. Wow.
Swami suddenly choked. And You know, in the year 99, it was very rare to see Swami choking. Because, of course, in the later years, Swami would express the emotion more in the public. But at that time, it was still very rare.
Yes.
And for the first time, we all were like totally shaken. Swami just choked. And as if, you know, he was recollecting that moment.
Yeah.
He was recollecting that moment and he just choked for that moment. And after that, every single practice, when that scene came, he would choke. And even on the final day, when the drama happened, when that moment came, he choked. So, you know, such a powerful thing, like how God...
That is all Lord wants. He just wants us to tell that, Lord, please be with us. Don't go. Don't.
Exactly.
That's all he wants. I think that's the only thing that he wants from us. As Swami says that, you know, if he wants anything from us, it is only love. And that also what he has given.
Exactly. So, you know, I always associate Vrindavan with that pining.
Yes.
It's that trying to do everything as an offering to the Lord.
Yes.
And Hridaya Vrindavan.
Yes.
So, our hearts have to be in Vrindavan all the time.
Yes.
And once we are having our hearts in Vrindavan, I think we'll be all the time connected to the Lord.
To Prashanti Nilayam. To peace.
That's true.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Brother Sai Prakash. I know the saga of Vrindavan is unending, unbounded. So, dear listeners, if you want to continue this series, we can go on endlessly because there are so many more stories of this nature. But we'll pray to Swami and see how He guides this series that we started more than 25 weeks ago, Learning with Love in Vrindavan. This was to commemorate the Golden Jubilee celebrations of the Vrindavan campus, and that happened so magnificently on June 9th. This month, where you had the Vice President of India come and deliver a very beautiful address, and you can watch this program on our website, on our YouTube channel. So please do keep writing to us. Please tell us your thoughts on Radio Sai Next today. Brother Sai Prakash shared his perspective on what has gone behind this new initiative. So please do share your thoughts. What is it that you'd like us to take up in Radio Sai Next? It's in a very formative stage. What is it that you think will help people connect with Swami, help the children in your family, help the young adults that you see who are friends of your teenagers? Please let us work together to take His message and make more lives beautiful around us. As always, you can send in your feedback to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number. We look forward to your questions, your suggestions on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much. Sayonara.